The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is coming your way. The Medicare podcast that lost the coin toss. He never tires of exciting insurance chat. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, thank you, Drew McMillan. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. This is Doug Jones, Medicare expert and bon vivant. And I'm welcoming you, the audience, to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is episode 43, and right now we're recording it on April 16th of 2020. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, who is this lazy man that we're podcasting to? This would be any man or woman who is intimidated by having to learn about Medicare. They're approaching the need to make Medicare decisions. They're overwhelmed in many cases, concerned about doing the wrong thing and having it haunt them for the rest of their lives. And we are here to tell you that that is an unlikely scenario. That is probably not going to happen if you know just a few important facts. And we're here to deliver those facts to you. And when I say we, I'm talking to my distant but socially adept friend and audio engineer, Randy Carson. Say hello to the folks, Randy.
Mr. Jones, how are you today in this social distancing sort of world?
I have to tell you, I don't want to socially distance myself from the beautiful Arizona that I see outside the window. It's pushing 80 degrees up here in the foothills in Cave Creek. It's sunny. There isn't one cloud I can see anywhere in the sky, and it's magnificently warm and beautiful. Couldn't ask for much more than that. Well, I could ask for one more thing. I could ask for you to play our new radio spot, just once.
Oh, absolutely. Let me pull it out of my drawer here. Hold on. Okay, I've got it. Now you just be real quiet, and I'll play the radio spot for the audience.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Boy, that was great. I really enjoyed hearing that again. And frankly, you wouldn't think I would like my own voice that much, but I do. I've decided this is what I should be doing the rest of my life. But that spot we're going to put on radio stations all over America. And I'm hoping that it delivers the message being that Medicare is needlessly complicated. And perhaps we can help you ease that burden, make it a lot less intimidating, a lot less scary. So, buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, if you would like to know more about Medicare without needing to become an expert in. I think I've got it simplified for you in a very short, pleasant read. And if you agree, then I'll ask you to leave a customer review wherever you bought the book so that future readers can understand. So anyway, Randy, we decided to talk about Broadway Joe today. Actually, we didn't decide. I kind of decided, and you're just along for the ride. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can talk about Broadway Joe. You know, this is not the best idea to pop into my head, but every time I think about Joe Namath, for some strange off-the-wall reason, pantyhose come to mind.
Was that Joe or was that Burt Reynolds?
I think it was
okay,
Joe
then
Namath.
Burt Reynolds was featured in the first episode of Playgirl magazine.
Yeah, but he didn't have any pantyhose on. He had pretty much a much less.
I have to say that you're a lot more sure of that than I would want you to be.
I was told, my girlfriend at the time told me all about that.
Well, at least you got it from a reasonable source. I'm not going to worry about you so much. I was a little concerned when you seemed to be very positive about who was wearing pantyhose where. Well, anyway.
Oh, my. Well, according to the story, Broadway Joe had to wear them to hold his legs together because his knees were so
trained. He should
have
gone to see my godfather, who was an orthopedic surgeon in Oklahoma City, who was one of the people, if not the primary person, I was told, at least that's the family lore, who perfected arthroscopic knee surgery. One of the first patients he worked on was a young man by the name of Gale Sayers, and he was able to put Gale Sayers back on the football field for a few more seasons when it looked like it was curtains. So he was a fun guy. He was a lot older than I. He had a big old three-story house in Oklahoma City, and when the family would go pay a visit, I was the only kid. And, of course, they had me dressed up in a monkey 1950s. Basically, I just rode up and down in that elevator all day long. It went from the basement up to the top. I thought that was so damn – I was easily entertained, would have had any complaints about raising a kid like this. We're going to drink for a while. You go off and play in the elevator. So I was, pretty easy to take care of.
Go play in the elevator.
Another time, they had me climbing a mountain in Arizona. And it's only as an older person that I learn about snakes and scorpions. But no, you go ahead. We're drinking.
Go right up that trail.
Yeah, they go up that mountain there and see what you can see from the top of it. And then
be sure you take enough water with you, because we certainly wouldn't want you to pass out from dehydration.
That wasn't a thought that anybody would have had. I mean, if I had been thinking about it, playing cowboy, I might have had a canteen with me, but I think that's a little unlikely. I don't think I had anything other than, you know, my fake six guns, and they wouldn't have saved me from a snake or a scorpion. But anyway.
Now, did your six guns that you had as a kid, did they have rolls of caps?
Yeah, they were. They did. And eventually the caps would not feed smoothly. And what I lusted after was what my friend Tucker Childs had, which was a pair of matching six guns that had individual bullets. So each pistol had six bullets that you would load in there, and you'd have to stick a greenie cap on the back of each bullet. The greenie stick'em caps were individual as opposed to the red rolls that would.
Then
not only that, but he had a Winchester lever action rifle with bullets that matched the pistols. So you could arm him up in the morning and he would be shooting at stuff all day long.
Oh my gosh.
But he came home smelling like cordite because of all the greeny stick'em caps that he went through. But that was the best use of technology in children's guns that I ever saw.
Well, did you know, now obviously you and I know each other pretty well, that if one thing is good, 17 is much better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when my concept of the rolled caps was that I don't know whether they started cutting down on the amount of powder they put in each, you know, potential shot. So I wasn't getting enough bang for my dime. And then I took a whole roll of them, and you know, if you smash that puppy with a hammer, it goes off pretty good.
Yeah, it shoots that hammer right back at you too, doesn't it? Well, I just had the impression that the roll of stamps left residue on the mechanism of the pistol, so eventually it was softer and less cooperative. When it's brand new, it's hard and slippery, and the roll will slide right past. But then the more cordite, the more gunpowder residue you get stuck on the inside of that pistol, the less cooperative the roll of stamp.
Of course, you can't picture a kid 7 years old, 6 years old, walking around with, you know, like caps in his pocket and a BB gun. Oh my, we had 100 ways that we could hurt ourselves, but we made it, Doug. I drank out of a hose on the side of the house.
I never had a bicycle helmet.
No.
And there's barely anything wrong with me, so they say.
I totally get it. I mean, I took a couple really good face plants, and, you know, I've still got rocks in my legs, or rocks, you know, gravel and rock in my knees from those things. But, yeah. Hey, I made it.
Oh, yeah. We used to have acorn fights, and that led to, in the concrete, the precast, this wasn't precast concrete, in the forms, when they set up forms to build a house near me, my friends and I went over to this house and we divided up into teams, And we were down in the basement wall forms, which were like a foot wide and they had rebar. And we threw railroad spikes at each other. And that was, the point was that if we ever.
Oh my gosh. You're talking the real deal, huh?
The railroad spikes were used to hold the forms in place. These guys that built the forms that later had to pour the concrete, they would tamp these spikes in a framework that would hold the forms in place, and then they'd come along and give them one smack, and they'd go, fly up in the air, and the form would come loose from the concrete that had hardened up. So we were down there before they actually poured the concrete, but they had the forms in place. They had a pile of spikes laying there. So we each grabbed a few spikes and started flinging them at each other, thinking that probably nothing bad's going to happen here. And fortunately, that day, nothing bad did happen, but we were always dancing on the edge of disaster.
I totally understand. We used to, not railroad spikes, this is a closely related story. We used to spend a lot of time hanging around in my little small town. We had obviously a rail yard. Every small town in the Midwest has a rail yard. So we used to hang around down the rail yard, and we would collect that metal strapping that they sealed up railroad cars seals. With. And then you could cut it in certain little, certain lengths and bend it in certain ways and make whistles out of it. So not only were we hanging around the railroad car, jumping out in front of, trains and cars going by, but we were making whistles out of stuff that was been laying on the ground for about, 5 years and putting it in our mouths so we could whistle.
Did anybody ever tell you that back in those days, railroad car bathrooms always had a sign that said, do not flush toilet while in station?
Well, we know why that was.
Did you make a connection?
It's kind of like blue ice out of an aircraft.
Did you ever make a connection between what that railroad seal was laying in and your use of it as an oral instrument?
I still lived through it, so, obviously it wasn't poisonous to some extent, but that's the reason that we all didn't have to walk around in a bubble.
Sure, and then technology marched along, and as we got older and more mature, Abby Hoffman, that great author, wrote a book entitled Steal This Book, and in Steal This Book were a list of ways to rip off the man. And, give society a little kick in the chestnuts. And one of the ways he would do it would be to take one of those railroad seals, cut it to a predetermined length, and then you could make a free payphone call. You could call your girlfriend on the other side of the country for nothing because the operator would hear the ding of the coins that you put in the phone, but you could stick this in the nickel slot and just ding, ding, ding away and make free phone calls all day long.
There you go.
So
that's a really creative way to do it.
Well, that was Abby Hoffman. God knows where he got his ideas. The whole book is full of ideas like that, and some less illegal than others. But, drinking out of the garden hose is something that I never gave a second thought to. Neither did anybody who was responsible for my well-being. But a couple of years ago, I was out in the yard and I was talking to the wife, and I did actually turn on the nozzle and get a drink, and she just screamed. It was like, oh my God, what are you doing? So she's been drinking the Kool-Aid. She's been brainwashed. She's hiding out from the Chinese virus. So anyway, we did just.
I wonder, Joe Namath, how old is Joe Namath?
I doubt.
He's older.
I think he's our age, except he's been pounded into the ground a few times by huge guys that try to kill him.
Well, there is that problem.
And he does like his cocktails, too. So I've seen him a little on the tipsy side. Yeah. I don't think it takes much to get him there. But here's the thing. He is well-known right now. He's the subject of a lot of conversations because he's doing commercials for what sounds like the federal government and the Medicare department of the federal government, because he sits there and goes, listen, folks, Medicare has approved all these benefits that you can get for free. You deserve them. Get what you deserve. In reality, what he's doing is very misleading. Now, it's hard to hate Joe. So frankly, if somebody came to me and said, hey, talk about zoology and say these words about zoology, and then we'll give you a big fat check when you're finished, I'm probably not going to look up the zoology terms to find out that I'm lying to my audience either. So I can't blame Joe for not being astute enough about Medicare to realize that what he's saying makes very, very little sense. But in fact, that's the case. I shocked Randy a few episodes ago. I recorded Joe's commercial, one of his commercials, and he's talking about all these magnificent benefits that are there. Just call the 800 number, and you too probably can get what you deserve, but they'll tell you when they answer the phone. But what he's asking you to do is to call an insurance agency someplace in the United States, and then Randy almost had a heart attack. I'm surprised that he's still able to, but I photocopied the disclaimer at the end of Broadway Joe's commercial where it says, there's the 800 number, don't delay, get what you deserve. And then it launches into the fine print and it takes up most of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And you remember your reaction when I showed you that, Randy?
I do. And the thing that I have never seen a disclaimer on the bottom of a page that had an index.
It needs organization.
This is all the stuff that we talked about that you are not
going to get. It needs organization in order for you to find the parts of the disclaimer that might be most helpful to you. It goes on and on and on. My original thought was, I can kill a whole podcast episode just by reading this thing. Then I realized there isn't enough saliva in the world to get me through the reading of this disclaimer. So I will tell you in a nutshell what the disclaimer is. The disclaimer says, don't believe what Joe is telling you. They have put words in his mouth and given him a pretty healthy paycheck to tell you things in such a way that they're dancing on the edge of misleading you. The beautiful benefits that he talks about include delivering free meals to your house and giving you rides to the doctor and maybe the zoo and all these other fun things that for free. He says for free. In reality, he's talking about the telephone call is free, not the benefits, because nothing is free in the Medicare insurance world. But he says that all of this stuff is available, and all you have to do is find the right insurance guy and calling the 800 number that he, well, it turns out that almost everything that he in the ad is available for people who are on Medicaid, people who are on welfare. These plans are devised for people who cannot get out of their house to get to the doctor's office, who cannot make their own meals and have to have them delivered as opposed to going into a nursing home. These benefits are available, but they're available for people that are in dire straits. They're not available for people that are living a normal life and calling up and saying, I'm turning 65, it's time for me to get a Medicare plan. He is touting the type of Medicare plan that I urge all people with normal health and normal financial resources not to consider as Medicare Advantage. The Medicare Advantage plans can include all of those fun things that he talks about, but in reality, they're not going to for the vast majority of people that call that number. You don't live in the right place, the right zip code. You don't have the right set of needs to qualify for all this free stuff. You're not going to qualify for Medicaid if you are, as I said, one of the people of average health or better, average or better. That stuff is just not available to you. Frankly, I'm very sorry to give up the opportunity to read this disclaimer because it would kill maybe a couple of episodes. Randy would have to bail out of one and start the recorder over for the next one. There is just so much stuff in this disclaimer that if you were to read it, you'd say, sorry that I listened to this commercial. I wasted my time doing it. So be aware that Medicare Advantage plan trying to obfuscate, because if you are confused, you are likely to listen to what, and they can be very, why are they so persuasive? Because Medicare Advantage pay a lot of money in commissions to that signs the deal. He signs the deal with you. He's going to cash in, and you're going to find yourself at the end of the year going, oh, now I've got to find a better plan. Isn't working for me. But that's a whole story for another time, and I don't want to bring everybody down. We've got a beautiful sunny day in Arizona, and frankly, we've had a beautiful radio spot to enjoy.
I've got good news, and I've got bad news. The good news is it's 82 degrees, and it's a little humid today.
You know 10%. How to put a smile on my face.
Yeah, there you go. That's the good news. The bad news is we are out of time. We're going to have to work. Unless you got a real
it's
short
It's like I got
one.
A big crank on my back. You wind it up, and I just keep going until I burned up everything. And frankly, I want to do justice with what I have. We put it off until it, but
I really hated to do it. On the other hand, the information that you did share with us was very necessary, so it wasn't wasted at all. I wanted to hear about Broadway Joe. And
Joe, I consider to be an innocent party to this whole thing, because who does he? What does he do? Hire an expert to tell him, oh, this is a lie, and this is a lie, and this is not true, and this is misleading? I don't think so. I think he was coerced by the income, and he's happy to have the work. So it's hard to blame Joe. What I do is I blame the insurance agency that will answer the phone when Joe's very persuasive sales pitch works on somebody who's sitting around watching television. Those are the guys that need to be pulled up short. And the only way to pull them up short is to spread the word that their commercials are full of misleading information and probably outright, misinformation. I don't want to draw too many conclusions here, but frankly, there are better ways to approach your Medicare decisions than a television ad that's repeated 2,500 times.
I have an expression. Now, I'm certainly not talking about Broadway Joe or perhaps even the agency he's working for, but in my background in the Midwest, you know what we called that?
I don't know, Randy, but this is a family podcast.
Oh, they're selling snake oil.
I was afraid it might be a little more colorful than that, but thank you for keeping it clean. So yes, snake oil. And someday I'll tell you about how barbed wire was introduced to Texas. Snake oil played a part in that, but that's a story for another time.
There you go. Well, I wanted to thank you for joining us, Doug, as well as the audience.
Thank you for having me. Not everybody would, you know.
Well, you know, I love these conversations. I get a big kick out of them, and they're very knowledgeable. They're very important, and everybody in the world needs to know this information. I know I did. And I know everybody listening wants to know this information. They could have been listening to somebody else, but no, they were listening to Doug Jones. He is the anti-insurance insurance guy, the expert that owns MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Well, thank you for being there for me, Randy, when I needed some way to talk to the people, because you made it all possible. And thank you, people, for being talked to. And we will come back and talk at you another time real soon, I hope.
Bye-bye.